Hi, Marty Lurie here. Nick Pecora joins us of the Arizona Republic. As I say, I'll be in Arizona, I think, sometime in the next month or so, and reading about the things he writes in the Arizona Republic. Nick, nice to see you, as always, in San Francisco.
We'll be happy to have you back in Arizona, Marty.
At some point, it does come to an end. Nick, the Arizona Diamondbacks, of course, with a new regime in here, Chip Hale and Dave Stewart, Deshaun Watson, who's been named possibly as GM and other organizations, and Tony La Russa. All right, we have about 2-3 weeks to go. How do you see it for the Diamondbacks? Was it a good year?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I mean, I know Tony La Russa was saying in the offseason that he would be, I believe the quote was, absolutely heartbroken if they don't finish over 500 this season. They're at, you know, in the high 70s in the loss column right now, so it's not looking like he's going to come away, you know, all that satisfied. But, I mean, I think coming off of the, you know, year that they had last year, 98 losses, first pick in the draft, all that, you know, the position player core is strong. It's kind of the same thing, though, you know, we were looking at a year ago. It's just, it's all about the pitching.
Yeah. Well, we look at some of the pitchers we'll see this weekend. We'll see, of course, Pat Corbin, and we'll see Jeremy Hellickson. That's our weekend matchup for the Giants. Pat Corbin has come back nicely for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's probably one of the most encouraging things that we've seen this season. He looks very much like the guy that he was for much of the 2013 season. The guy who could slide, you know, right in there. I don't know if he's, you know, a true, like, clear-cut number one type of starting pitcher, but he is not too far off. He's definitely a top-of-the-rotation type.
All right, on Sunday we see Jeremy Hellickson, who his last start wasn't very good. He was gone after an inning. But he is a guy, we saw him in the beginning of the season in that first series against the Giants, and here we are as the Giants and Diamondbacks wrap it up. Here he is again.
Yeah, he's kind of had his ups and downs. I mean, I think he just doesn't have the kind of overwhelming stuff that you need to be able to make some of the mistakes that he's made command-wise this season. So when he's putting it where he wants it, he can be pretty effective.
All right, Nick Pecora with us, Arizona Republic. You know, we love to read all the columnists all week long, and it seems like with the Central being so strong and the Cubs and the Pirates and the Cardinals, everyone's complaining now about a one-game play-in, and it's not fair. The Cubs and Pirates, if that's the way it ends up, or Cardinals, Cubs, whatever it may end up, they need a 3 out of 5 or a double header one day and a single game the next day. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I can certainly understand the sentiment. I mean, given, you know, the fact that it's an imbalanced schedule and those are still going to be the, you know, probably the three best teams in the National League, it just shows how impressive it is and how clearly they've kind of demonstrated that, you know, they're able to beat up on the rest of the teams. But I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is. It's hard to have a balanced schedule given, you know, the different time zones. You probably don't want all these East Coast teams coming to the West Coast multiple times. It would really wreak havoc on travel and on television schedules and things like that. And that's kind of a really big part of things, I'm sure. I don't know. I saw Theo talking about a best 2 out of 3 for that first round. Maybe that's an answer. But, you know, on the other hand, like, you know, we're talking about getting to that next round, which is a best of five. Is a best of five really all that, like, more definitive of a way of handling things? I mean, a best of five is still kind of a crapshoot. You can be in and out in 3 games, 4 games a lot of the time. And, you know, that just sort of seems like not exactly the right way to determine things for a sport that has a 162-game schedule. I don't know. I think it's an interesting discussion, though.
Well, Rob Manfred is up for anything, as he says. They're looking at everything, and they talk about even shortening the schedule to 154 games and thereby giving you a few more days to get a wild card series done, 2 in 1 day and 1 in the next day.
Well, I mean, I feel like if you're going to shorten the schedule, you should probably work in more off days during the season and worry less about the playoffs. I think that's a huge concern. I think being able to get, you know, position players and starting pitchers and even relievers as well, extra days off as the year goes along, I think that'd go just as far toward improving the product on the field.
Yeah, a lot of people say that they want to have a 27-man roster and have a couple that you could have on a taxi squad, so to speak. We'll see. The collective bargaining agreement is up after 16, so I'm sure we're going to have some issues there. Looking at the awards that come up at the end of the year, it's always a lot of fun. And what do you vote on this year?
I believe I have MVP and Rookie of the Year this year. So I probably don't have the hardest one at the moment. It's probably looking like NL Cy Young is going to be the hardest one. What do you think?
Well, no, it's a good question. As we're sitting here today, I mean, you've got Chris Bryant, you've got Duffy. Gong got injured, but he certainly became a spark plug for that team. Franco of the Phillies was pretty good. But I think Brian and Duffy may be the two best I've seen. But the MVP thing is a good question. We've kicked that around on the air. And that is, how do you factor Cespedes into this thing if the Mets do what they're supposed to do?
I don't know. I mean, there's not a whole lot of precedent for a guy like that coming over and winning the award. I think Manny Ramirez might have finished fourth the year that he was traded over in 2008, I think it was, to the Dodgers. But, you know, I mean, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I still think you have to kind of look at the whole body. And, you know, I mean, Bryce Harper's been incredible. But I haven't made up my mind, don't get me wrong. I'm still, you know, obviously there's a couple weeks to go. We'll see what happens. But he's had a pretty historic season.
Yeah, he has. Nick Pecora with us, Arizona Republic. You look at Anthony Rizzo, what he's done for the Cubs, McCutcheon. These are tough people to overlook. This winter, what do the Diamondbacks do? How active are they in the free agent market? And Mike Leake is here. All of a sudden, people are talking about Mike Leake going to Arizona. He's an ASU guy. What are the Diamondbacks? What are their priorities over this winter?
I think they're looking for a couple of starting pitchers. I think, you know, Mike Leake is certainly a name that could make some sense, but I think they're probably going to be aiming a little bit higher than that in a lot of ways. I think that they need a top of the rotation guy. It sounds like that's what they're hoping to acquire. You know, whether it's, you know, going into that David Price, Jordan Zimmerman, that Johnny Cueto, that kind of caliber. I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. They've never really been a big time player, and I mean, not since Randy Johnson, you know, however many years ago, 15 years or so. They haven't really been that kind of player on that caliber of player on the market. We'll see. They have a lot of money to spend. They've cleared a lot of cash off of the books the last couple of years. So we'll see if they do it.
Yeah, I think they're in the market. That's what I believe. I think they realize they need it. And Tony La Russa, you know, he can evaluate as well as anyone. You didn't mention Paul Goldschmidt. Come on, your own guy.
He's had an incredible season. He's slowed down a little bit here the last maybe month or so. It's just hard to give him the nod over the, you know, I mean, look. I think Bryce Harper has about 100 points on him in slugging percentage. He's got 40 home runs already. It's been a heck of a season.
Yeah, no, I agree. But let's put it, maybe 2 through 6 could be interesting. Looking at the potential playoff, you got the Mets, perhaps the Dodgers are getting closer. You got the Pirates, Cubs, Cardinals that we talked about. Who do you think is the strongest team in here? Pitching defense, usually that's what we look for. And a lot of these teams with young pitchers, everyone's afraid to throw them. Well, the veteran pitchers, maybe the guys who've been there before, give you those 40 innings in October.
Yeah, I mean, the guy that kind of feels to me like he could just take over the playoffs, much in the way that Bumgarner did last year, is maybe Arrieta. He just seems like he has the potential to just absolutely dominate for, you know, 7-8 innings every time he touches the ball. Who knows how he'll do if he's pressed into action on short rest and all of that. But, you know, Lester is a solid number two, and It looks like a pretty interesting group of pitchers. Jason Hamill's not bad either. That team kind of looks interesting to me. I kind of wonder what's going to happen with the Mets, given all the, you know, Matt Harvey and uncertainty. Some of those young guys, I think Syndergaard hasn't had as great of a last couple of months. So, you know, can those guys kind of turn it back on? They certainly have the most dominant stuff. I mean, just the number of they've had so many. I saw some stat where they have the most pitches thrown 95 miles an hour or harder than any staff in history. It's, you know, over the course of the season, it's pretty amazing. They've got the potential to dominate as well. Now we know they can score some runs too.
Well, Nick Pecora, all right, Nick, look at one player in the Diamondbacks. Say, wow, that was a surprise, and this guy is now here. Anyone jump out at you?
It's sort of funny the way that it goes with my club, because they don't get an awful lot of attention, and so people kind of are slow to pick up on him. You know, it took a couple of years for people to realize how good Paul Goldschmidt was. I think it's kind of now gotten to the point where people realize just how good A.J. Pollock is in center field. That could, I guess, be the answer to the question, but I feel like the guy that's currently kind of floating under the radar is David Peralta, who is just a real offensive weapon and a pretty good corner defender as well. Not a bad player out there, but really just, I mean, has really kind of taken over that number four spot in the lineup. There were lots of questions of who's going to protect Paul Goldschmidt in the lineup, and he's absolutely stepped up and shown that he can do it. He's hitting lefties a little bit better, but he's a heck of a hitter. I think he's probably the next guy to kind of burst onto the scene.
All right, great. And a great answer. That's why you're here. I didn't even think of David Peralta. Very good. Nick, thanks so much as always, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Nick Pecoro, Arizona Republic. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.